This morning I want to bring a message I know the Lord has laid on my heart that I trust might be a blessing to you. And we're going to read in Psalm 34, beginning in verse number 17 and reading down through verse number 22 this morning. Psalm 34, 17. Follow with me, please. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you this morning that for every family, you have a heart for us, and you have a longing to help us. And Lord, I pray that this message today would help each individual today, Lord, and help their families today, and that we might go forth from this place understanding your heart for the home in a greater way. And we ask this now in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes when I read in the book of Genesis, I try to picture that very first wedding ceremony. Perhaps you've read how that God created Eve from the side of Adam, and then the Bible says that God brought Eve and presented her to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And there in the Garden of Eden was the very first wedding ceremony in the history of the world. What a beautiful day that must have been. What a beautiful picture that is of marriage even today. But you know, the Bible also records for us that there came a time in the life of Adam and Eve when they sinned. And with that sin, there came a consequence. The Bible tells us about the consequence of their sin in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken." You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were sent out from the Garden of Eden. They lost the privilege of being in that place and having that special fellowship with God. And when I think of that picture, my heart is filled with sorrow to think of a family being sent out from the place where they had enjoyed God's rich blessings. Undoubtedly, their hearts were broken as they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Undoubtedly, they thought to themselves, if only we had obeyed God, if only we had followed the word of God, we would not be in this predicament. And so from the very first family, we see that families have struggled and suffered with broken hearts, and every family has trials, and every family here this morning has experienced heartaches and will experience heartaches as we journey through this wilderness and through this time on this earth. And yet I believe today that as we look at the Word of God, and as we understand that families have problems and trials, we need to realize this morning that it's not just the result of sin when families have trials. Even good families have troubles, and even good families have times when their hearts break. In fact, the Bible says in verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Good families have trials, and families that have disobeyed God have trials and have heartaches. Sometimes those heartaches are the result of harsh words that are said. Sometimes those harsh words are stated in such a way that it's like a knife being placed into our hearts. You know, I remember as a kid, we used to have these little sayings, and we'd run around the playground, and one of those sayings was, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Names will never hurt me." Well, you know, as I've grown to be an adult, that's just really not true, is it? The fact of the matter is that sometimes when people say certain things to you, it hurts you very much. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes those words that are said can bring a great deal of sorrow. And no one likes to be called a name, whatever that name might be. And sometimes those harsh words bring about a feeling in our heart of heaviness. Sometimes it's the rejection of a loved one saying, "I don't ever want to see you again. I don't ever want to speak to you again." Sometimes it's an unsaved relative telling someone who's recently been saved, hey, if you're going to be in that religious stuff, then forget it. I don't ever want to talk to you about it. And they reject your newfound faith in Christ. Sometimes it's a wayward child. A child that never calls, a child that has told you hateful things, and other times it may be sickness in a family or even death. But you see, every family faces heartache. Every family today has one thing in common, and that is the burdens that we face. I remember one time hearing a missionary speak about the language in China. And in China, many of the letters are really more than letters. They're characters. And those characters reflect the feeling of the Chinese people. And he said to me, he said, you know, Brother Chappell, the character for perseverance is a very interesting character to study. He said, the character for perseverance, and he drew it on a piece of paper. He says, if you'll notice closely, it is a knife through the heart. It's a knife through the heart. And he said the character that the Chinese people use to explain persevering is showing a knife through the heart. And sometimes that's what family life is like. Persevering and trying to go forward, and yet there's a knife in the heart. There's a burden that we may bear. And sometimes we may even ask the question, how can I go on? How can I somehow find spiritual healing to get over some of these hurts and to get on with the life that God has called me to live? And I want to share some things today with you from God's Word, ways that we might heal some broken hearts, ways that we might deal with some things that need to be dealt with either now or at some time in the future. And I want to share with you this morning three ways that God will bring healing into your heart and into your home today if you would let Him. First of all, I believe there is healing in the grace of God. There is healing in the grace of God. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In a few weeks on Wednesday nights, we're going to expound this passage in great detail, but I want you to notice it briefly with me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's begin, if you would, in verse number 9. The background of this passage is the Apostle Paul, having come to the Lord Jesus three times and asking Him for physical healing and for help with some trials in his life. And the Bible says in verse number 9, this is the word of the Lord to Paul, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Bible tells us that Paul had come to the Lord Jesus. He had said, "Lord, would you take this trial from me? Would you take this heartache from me? Would you take this physical infirmity from me?" And yet the Bible says that Jesus came back to Paul and he said, "Paul, I'm not going to remove your trial, but I am going to give you grace so that you can go through the trial." And he says, "My grace will be sufficient for you." And he says, "My strength will be made perfect or complete in your weakness." God did not heal Paul, but He did give Paul His grace. The Bible says in Ezekiel 34:16, "I will seek that which was lost and bring that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick." That's the ministry of God. God's ministry is to bind up that which is broken. God's ministry is to give grace and a healing balm to the soul that is hurting through the trials of this life. There's an author who writes books for Christian ladies in particular. Her name is Barbara Johnson. And my wife has a book or two by Barbara Johnson, and sometimes when she's reading it, she'll get to giggling so hard that tears come out the side of her eyes, and she's just laughing and laughing. And she says, "Read this, hear this," and just a kind of a lighthearted type of an author, sort of like the Irma Bombeck style, you know, just finding funny things about life and so forth. And yet the other day I was reading just a little about Barbara Johnson's life. And I found that Barbara Johnson, years ago, had a son that was killed in Vietnam. 5 years after her son was killed in Vietnam, her oldest son was hit by a drunken driver and killed. Just a year after that, she went to see her final child, a son, graduating from college. And upon graduating from college, she said, "Mom, I've got something I want to tell you. I want you to know that I'm a homosexual. And Barbara Johnson said it was like a knife going right through her heart. She said she cried and she wept and she wept. She didn't know what to do. Here she had lost two sons in death. Now a son was betraying everything that she had ever taught him. And she said she just didn't know what to do. And yet, even as her heart felt like a knife had been pierced through, she went to the Word of God and she began to find that His grace was sufficient, and God is using her to lift the spirits of thousands of other people today because she chose to become better and not bitter. She asked God's grace to make a difference, and it did make a difference in her life. You see, God says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." When you feel that weakness, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel as though the heartache is never going to stop, God says, "I'll give you the touch that you need." His grace is sufficient no matter what your family is experiencing today, no matter what your heart is experiencing today. God's grace is sufficient. Not only is His grace sufficient, but His grace will help you in your time of need. I want you to notice over in Hebrews for a moment in chapter 4 with me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. His grace will help you in your time of need. Hebrews 4:16 says this: "Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I love that phrase there. God says, "Let us come to the throne of grace." That means coming to prayer, coming to God in prayer. "Let us come boldly," the Bible says, "that we may come under the throne of grace." And I'm glad that God is not looking to beat me over the head with a billy club or point out every fault in my life, but that He's there to meet with me in gracious love and to receive me when I turn to Him. And the Bible says in this verse that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, you know, friends, every one of us have times of need. Every person in this room has a time when they need God's help. It may be for your children, it may be for your marriage, but God says that when you come to Him, He has grace to help in a time of need. And I thank God that we have an high priest, Jesus Christ, who is approachable, and that we can come to Him in prayer, and that He hears and answers our prayer. I thank God that we're not praying today to a man or to some stone idol, but that we're praying to the One who came to this earth. He was misunderstood. He was ignored. He was betrayed. He has experienced every kind of a feeling physically and emotionally that you've experienced. And when you pray to Jesus Christ, you can find grace to help you in your time of need. You can find a Savior who understands what you are feeling and what you are experiencing. Dr. David Jeremiah is a well-known author and radio speaker. And Dr. Jeremiah, in his years of ministry, has tried to be faithful to God. But recently I was reading a book that he wrote, and David Jeremiah said that there came a time some years ago in his life when he was raising his teenage children. And his teenage daughter, who was a student at the school where he had been the president of the school, was found to have been experimenting with cocaine. David Jeremiah wrote, "Nothing in my life prepared me for the initial shock and the resulting pain. And yet," he said, "God's grace sustained me." I'm trying to tell you today, whether you think you have the best family in this room or whether you realize you've had some shortcomings in your family, there is going to come a time when you're going to have to realize that nothing can sustain you other than the grace of God in your life. There may be a surprise around the corner for you. There may be a present hurt in your life today. But I would point you this morning, my friend, to healing through the grace of God. And that grace can be found not always just through counseling. It can be found through this message today. It can be found through opening the Word of God and finding your way in the Word of God, and through prayer and through the faithfulness of God's grace. You can find healing for the hurt in your soul. Healing through God's grace. I want to share a second way today that we can find healing when our families oftentimes are experiencing pain. And the second way to find healing is through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. I'd ask you to turn in your Bible, if you would, this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I suppose this passage of Scripture, if it could just be lived out by God's people today, it would truly continue revival in the hearts of God's people. Because so many times we hinder God's moving by harboring certain things in our hearts. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now let me say very clearly this morning, forgiveness is the result of His grace in your heart. It is not an accident that we started this morning with the first point being God's grace. Because until you experience God's grace in your heart, you will not forgive. The fleshly man, the carnal man, does not forgive. But the spiritual man does forgive. The carnal man harbors things in his heart. The carnal man would rather take a list of the offenses and keep track of them. The spiritual man forgives. The spiritual man says, "I want this to be made right." You see, I'm amazed with Christians today who claim to understand grace. Boy, they talk about it. They talk about it, but they harbor unforgiveness in their heart. My friend, you do not understand grace if there's someone in your life you're not forgiving today. You're talking about it intellectually, but you're not living it out spiritually. You see, if we're going to truly have a healing in our hearts, then there must be a forgiveness. There must be a time when we lay things aside. Now, notice the command to forgive. The Bible says in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Paul is not suggesting this to the church at Ephesus. He is commanding them that they would forgive one another. He says, "I am telling you, there is no way that you are going to have a life in the Spirit. There is no way that you will avoid," verse 30, "grieving the Holy Spirit, unless you forgive one another." The word "forgive" here is the Greek word charizomai. It means to bestow a favor unconditionally. To bestow a favor unconditionally. Doesn't mean, "All right, I'll let him have one more chance. But boy, if he crosses this line, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back right there." You've not forgiven. Forgiveness is to bestow a favor unconditionally. And a lack of forgiveness is an indication of a spiritual sickness in your heart. A lack of forgiveness, friend, it's not a trivial matter. It is an indication of a spiritual sickness in someone's heart when they are unable to forgive. If you and I look at life and if we look at it through the eyes of bitterness and unforgiveness, we will always lose perspective. People who have a lack of forgiveness in their heart will take things entirely out of scope. They will take everything as a very offensive matter. And we must learn as God's children how to forgive. If we allow ourselves to be filled with bitterness, we will oftentimes become like the very object that we hate. And the more we are filled with bitterness and unforgiveness, the more you will become just like the object of your bitterness. And so, if we don't get over bitterness, we will oftentimes squander this life we're living for God, and we will not be able to trust others. We will not be able to enjoy the blessings that God intends for us to enjoy in this life. If you're here this morning and you're filled with bitterness, you cannot truly enjoy life, and you are not truly free, as much as you may talk about freedom, as much as you may talk about grace. If there is bitterness in your life, you are in prison this morning. And the only way out of that prison is to forgive the person or the situation that has come into your life and has caused that hurt. Booker T. Washington once said this. He said, "I will never allow any man to destroy or degenerate my soul by making me hate him." And I want to tell you, the flesh, the world, and the devil, they're going to come and say, "Yeah, hate him, hate him, be angry, be angry." That's the way. That's the way. Show your temper. Give him a piece of your mind. But the spiritual man says, "No, I'm not going to lower myself. I'm not going to degenerate my soul to that. I'm going to take the high road. And I'm going to give this to the Lord and let Him take care of the rest." You see, forgiveness will free you from the anger of the wicked one. And some this morning are in prison today because in your soul there is unforgiveness and bitterness. And yet we see in Ephesians 4:32 a command to forgive. By the way, as we see the command to forgive, we see that once you forgive, you are now experiencing true freedom of your spirit. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his own spirit better than he that taketh a city." God says it's a tremendous day in your life when you are back in control of your spirit through the power of God's spirit and presence in your life. Now notice not only the command to forgive, but notice secondly the basis of forgiveness. I know many times people say, "Well, I can't forgive. You don't know how bad the situation was. You don't know, boy, someone really demeaned me. They really hurt me. They really did this or that. I can't forgive them." Well, let me give you the key to forgiveness today. Verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I want you to circle or underline or take note, "as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We can forgive other people on the basis of Christ's shed blood. You say, "Well, he doesn't deserve forgiveness." Catch this, friend. We did not deserve forgiveness, but God forgave us on the basis of Christ's shed blood. And so if someone deserves or doesn't deserve forgiveness, that's not the issue. The issue is that if you've been the recipient of God's forgiveness, then by that same saving grace, you can forgive someone else. And on the basis of Christ's shed blood, you can offer forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Christ says, "My blood was shed in order that your sins might be forgiven. Now go forgive others based on the merit of that same shed blood." I remember reading some time ago about a couple that went in for some counseling. They went into a pastor. They said, "We need some counseling." They were filled with anger, seething with anger. And I've had some counseling sessions like that too, where I thought maybe I should have some bodyguards in there, you know, like Geraldo show or something like that, you know, and trying to just keep them separate, you know. But boy, they went into the pastor's office. They were filled with anger at one another. And he said, "Well, when did this problem start?" And the husband said, "Well, it all started when we thought it would be a cute idea to write out each other's New Year's resolutions." Not a good idea. And as they wrote those resolutions out for each other, they crossed some sacred lines and the bitterness came. But you know, forgiveness will cure the sickness of your soul. And anger and bitterness is sickness of soul. It's a putrefying sore in your soul. And yet forgiveness will cause you to have a cleansing of soul. And for many today, the only healing of a broken heart is to forgive. I mean, put it aside. I mean, give it to the Lord and let that thing be something of the past. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady. And she had summoned him to her home. And as he walked on the grounds of her home, she showed him the remains of a grand old oak tree that had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. And as she showed him that tree and just kind of a stump now, she wept bitterly. She said, "Look what the federal artillery fire did to my tree." She said, I'm upset about this. I'm sick and tired of the ravages of this war." And she began to just spew out some things to the general. And after listening to it, Robert E. Lee, with some moment of silence, looked up and he said, "Cut it down, my dear, and forget it. Cut it down, my dear, and forget it." And friends, some of you today have an ugly stump that oftentimes floods your memory. And what you need to do is cut it down and forgive it based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Just cut it down and let it go. You will not have healing until you, by God's grace, forgive that situation. Healing comes into the life of a believer, first of all, by God's grace. Secondly, by forgiveness, by true Christ-like forgiveness. And then thirdly, healing will come into the life of a believer through gratitude. It will come through gratitude. Now that may sound, again, like a strange way to overcome the hurt of the family and the hurt of the relationships in your life. But again, it's interesting. This word gratitude comes from the same root word as grace. Gratitude and grace come from the same root word. And so, like forgiveness, you will not be filled with gratitude unless you are first filled with God's grace. But when you grow in the grace of the Christian life, you will learn how to look for things to be thankful for, and you will find your life being filled with gratitude. Oftentimes, when we experience grief, we become very self-focused. Oftentimes when we experience hurt, we become very introspective and all the focus is on ourselves. And sometimes that leads to depression, which the root of depression is pride, and the root of suicide is pride or self-thought and the self-life. But you see, gratitude is the opposite of selfishness. Gratitude is, again, the fruit of the Spirit causing me not to meditate only on the problems, but to meditate on the blessings. And that's what the Holy Spirit causes us to do. And so gratitude helps us to find healing in our lives through times when the hurts have developed. Now, let me share with you this morning a few things that I believe we need to have gratitude for if we're going to really get back into focus. If you're going to get off the side of the road and back onto the highway of God's blessings, then you're going to have to find some things to focus on other than those hurts. After you forgive, you're going to have to find some things to be thankful for in your life. First of all, I believe every one of us need to be grateful for God's provisions. Grateful for God's provisions. Look, we can spend our time in sorrow and grief and anger for what we don't have or for what happened or whatever, but I believe that there's a lot today that every one of us have to be thankful for. Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he wrote some wonderful words, and I want to tell you a little bit of the background before I tell you those words, because he was writing to a church, the church at Philippi, that was a giving church. They gave of their tithes, they gave of their offerings, and they were faithful in supporting even the missionary work of the Apostle Paul. And you know what God said in Philippians 4:19 to that church? But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, I want to tell you something today. God meets the needs of his people, and we need to be thankful for that and filled with gratitude for it. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has provided his physical provision. God has provided his presence in your life. And sometimes we can become so introspective and so filled with how we feel and how someone did something to us that we fail to recognize the many other bountiful blessings of God. In fact, oftentimes when we experience grief, we can become so upset over what we don't have that we waste what we do have. I want to say that again. Sometimes we can become so upset over what we don't have that we waste what we do have. Friend, you still have a Bible. You still have undoubtedly some family members. You still have today friends in your local church. You still have today a measure of health, or you would not be in this room. I'm simply saying we need to be grateful for the provision of God. Rather than focusing on the problems, rather than focusing on the hurts, why don't we focus on the blessings that God has given to us and find that there is help in focusing on those things. And then I believe, secondly, we need to be grateful for God's righteous judgment. Grateful for God's righteous judgment. Now you say, Pastor, how in the world does that tie into finding healing? I mean, judgment, how does that tie into it? Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 is a tremendously helpful verse. Romans 12, 19 says this, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but neither give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, I want to tell you, friend, there comes a time in your life when you just need to be thankful for the fact that God is going to settle the score. And just be thankful for it. And just say, Lord, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to settle the score. Romans 12, 19, he says, vengeance is mine. He says, neither give place to wrath. What he's really saying there is just set it aside. Don't give your heart. Don't say, I'll put wrath in this part of my heart. You can't serve God from your whole heart if it's filled with wrath. It just can't be filled with two things at the same time. So God says, don't give a place to wrath. Don't give a place to the devil, Ephesians chapter 4 says. Set it aside, God says. And God says in Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And a spirit-filled, gracious Christian says, all right, I'm going to leave that to the Lord. I'm not going to take it upon myself to take care of this matter. I'm going to let God be the righteous judge in this matter. You say, well, someone's hurt me. Someone's wronged me. Someone said something that I feels demeaning to me, to my family. Wait a minute. I believe you would be wise today, rather than letting that cause grief in your heart, to give that to God. And if someone really is wrong, God says, I'll take care of them. By the way, He'll take care of them a lot better than you will. He said, but you don't understand, Pastor, it's my husband. And he says things and he does things. God will take care of him. And God will take care of him in a lot stronger way than you will, if you'll just give it over to the Lord. You know, sometimes when someone breaks your heart, a bitterness will creep in. And if you're not careful, friend, you'll be tempted to retaliate. Maybe by sowing some seeds of things that you say, or maybe by jabbing back, or maybe by doing something hurtful to them. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you could even carry it into a vendetta. I want to tell you, friend, that's the opposite of God's grace. That's not God's grace. That's your flesh. And we need to recognize today that we need to just say, Lord, I'm thankful for your provisions in my life. And Lord, I am thankful, secondly, that you are the righteous judge. And I'm going to put this over here, Lord, for you to take care of it in your time and in your way. And if you want victory and healing in your heart, then you need to come to the place in your life where you give that over to the Lord 100% and let him deal with it. And then there's a third thing we need to be thankful for. And of course, that's our salvation today. Amen. Our salvation. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1 for a moment. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Oh, there's so much to be thankful for. There's no reason to be bitter at God, to be bitter at other people, when there's so many blessings from the Lord. And here we see the greatest blessing is salvation. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church at Colossae, he said, I'm thankful to the Father, and I love verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That, my friend, is the greatest gift of all. I'm telling you, no matter how heavy your heart may be, no matter how great your trial may be today, but for the grace of God, you could be on Skid Row begging a meal this morning. You could be hooked on drugs or dope to the time that you wouldn't even know how to be saved if someone tried to talk to you about being saved. I'm trying to tell you today, friend, we need to come to that place at times in our life where we say, hey, no matter what else has gone on in my life, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm thankful for my salvation today. And that's something that no one can take from you. And the presence of God is something that no one can take from your life. And the peace of God is something that no one can rob from your life. And no matter what happens to you in this life, if you have been born again, you can give thanks. My wife and I were out on soul winning some time back, a couple months ago. And we went to a home of a single mom and her kids. And as we went in to talk there, we began to just share some things about the Lord and about church. And it came to the point where we realized that she needed to talk. We were trying to share some things, but we just kind of sat back and just listened. And she began to tell us about some things she'd experienced. These were things that happened 4 years ago in her life. 4 years ago, some things that happened to her family and to her. And as she began to share those things, it was very obvious that she had not yet had healing in this area. And she began to talk. At first, it was a look of anger and tremendous anger at an individual. Then after a while, her lip began to quiver and tears began to come like a water fountain just flowing out of her eyes. And I remember saying to my wife later, honey, that was 4 years ago. And yet in her heart, it's like it was yesterday. And you know, my wife went back a few weeks later and was able to lead that lady to Christ. And you know that through salvation, she's beginning to have a healing in her life now. And I'm telling you, friend, that's what salvation is. Salvation is not only eternal life in heaven, but it's the receiving of God's Holy Spirit who will fill you with His grace, which will enable you to overcome, which will enable you to forgive, which will enable you to be grateful where at one time you were only ungrateful. You can now give thanks to the Lord for what He's done in your life. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 tells us what Jesus came to do. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Now, I've heard some of the charismatic TV preachers say that that's physical healing by His stripes. You can be healed of a migraine headache. You can be healed of this, that, and the other thing. That's not what this message is about. God says, by His stripes, because of the blood that He shed, because of the fact that He died on the cross, you and I can be healed from our sins, is what this is talking about. We can be forgiven from our sin. We can have a home in heaven. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that you could be set free from sin and the power of sin, so that you could be set free from those hurts, so that you could find His grace to be real in your life. And friend, when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have a friend that will help you and guide you and comfort you in times of tremendous need. I'm convinced of this fact today. God wants to heal your broken heart. God does not want you to go on through life a cycle of emotions and responses. God wants your life to be a life that is positive and going forward for Him. And God wants to heal your broken heart. God will do that through His grace. His grace is sufficient. And the deeper your hurt, the greater His grace. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." You say, "But you don't know the injustice I've felt." Why don't you get your eyes off the injustice and on to the Lord today? You'll find His grace to be sufficient for you. By forgiveness, you can find healing based upon Christ and His merit. And then not only His grace and His forgiveness, but also His gratitude. God says, "I want to teach you to be grateful for what I've done for you." By the way, Barbara Johnson's son recanted homosexuality a few years ago, and he's going through a program to learn how to live for Christ. By the way, Dr. Jeremiah's daughter, she's faithfully attending church, probably this morning somewhere in this state. And whatever your hurt might be today, God's grace is sufficient. Don't give up on God. Don't get bitter at fellow Christians. Don't get bitter at someone in your family. You just trust Him and keep your eyes on Him, and He'll heal your heart. And ultimately, by His grace and through His power, He can heal your family and He can make it right. Let us pray. Father, we come before You this morning as a needy people. Lord, sometimes when we have hurts, we respond so wrongly. Sometimes we begin to talk to all the wrong people. Sometimes our spirit is not right. We say the wrong things. And Lord, I pray today that You would take this message and that You would use it in the lives of our church family. Father, I pray that You would help us today, that when those broken hearts come, that we would find Your grace and that we would be forgiving and that we would even learn to give thanks. Please, Lord, help us with this area.